Iskierka left them an hour later, winging her way back to Sydney, though not without a great deal of quarrelling and dissension. She had not wished to leave, nor Granby, but there was no help for it. A smuggler's trail which should by necessity come to a definite conclusion in some fixed harbour was one thing, but the natives might go anywhere at all in their own country, and in circles if they wished.
"All right, maybe it isn't the smugglers, but what would the natives want with a dragon?"
Granby has said.
"I don't say they have any reason to love us, but they can't ever have seen a dragon before we landed in this country, and if you should tell me that a first glimpse of Temeraire or Iskierka or even Caesar should make a man want to hatch a beast out for himself, I call it mad."
They were all at something of a loss from the new discovery, but besides the handprint, the heavy red sand had taken all around the imprint of bare feet, and Thake had uncovered, too, some remnants of their meal, emptied seed-pods, roasted, and the stems of berries from a bush nearby. Native, and certainly no smugglers would have made such a meal at the risk of poisoning themselves. Thake shrugged a little.
"I do not pretend to an understanding of their motives," he said, "but their tracks are reasonably clear, and I am afraid it answers a great many questions. I have already found it strange the smugglers should continue this far without making a turn for the coast, and such easy familiarity with their route was wholly unlikely, even if the French had been colonizing this continent for a century."
"They have stolen the egg because it was precious to us," Rankin said impatiently. "We had it swaddled up as a great treasure. What more do you need? Likely they have not even realized it will hatch out a dragon and think it some species of jewel."
Lawrence could not be so easily dismissive. He would once have given as little credence to a native power sufficient to rival those of Europe, or as sophisticate in its organization and its forces. Although this was not a country, he rather thought, looking around the barren landscape, which should easily sustain and conceal an empire so large as the lush heart of Africa had concealed that of the Tswana. Still, he was not inclined to again make so dangerous an assumption.
"They have at the very least evaded us, despite the most urgent and enthusiastic search over many days," Lawrence added, "which ought to command our respect and wariness. It would be a very unimaginative man who would look at a dragon egg and think it anything other than it is. They do have birds here, and snakes. Far more likely they should see us in company with Temeraire and Iskierka and Caesar and realize the prize before them. They cannot be pleased with the usurpation of their territory by the farmers of the colony, and anything which offers them the power of resistance or of levelling the ground must appeal."
Rankin shrugged.
"Very well. In that case we must fear at any moment that several thousand wild tribesmen, full of loathing, will leap on us in the night. Splendid!"
The greater danger, of course, was the far more certain one, that the trail might go on a long, cold time of searching, and it was this which necessitated Iskierka's departure.
"We must grant them every power of hiding themselves from us in it, and knowing their way," Lawrence said to Granby, "and Riley cannot wait. Weeks and weeks gone, and no word of us at all. We were already overlong, looking for our route through the mountains. By now he must be looking to see us return to Sydney every day." "Well, I'm not herring off to leave you here in the middle of the desert, if that is what you're getting at," Granby said.
"It is fair to say that we are presently herring off away from our reasonable course," Lawrence said. "If the natives are not our friends, they are at least not the French, and one middleweight dragon will not give them the power of doing us much harm, even if they should wish to, when Temeraire is in the colony."
Fairer or not, Granby refused to like it, and Iskierka liked it still less.
"Well, I'm not going anywhere until we have found the egg," she said dismissively, "so there's no sense discussing it. Riley must wait, and that is all."
But Riley would not wait, of course. They had already been gone nearly 3 weeks, on a trip that ought to have taken them one, and with no word sent back. Whatever misfortune could befall a party of 2 heavyweight dragons and 30 men would not be lightly dismissed, and there was hardly anyone of the colony who could be sent in search of them either. They would be written down as lost, victims of an unfamiliar territory. Riley might even leave the sooner to bring the disastrous news back to England. Even Temeraire was no ally, for once proving reluctant to see Iskierka go.
"It is not that I am pleased with her company," he said to Lawrence, "or that I cannot rescue the egg myself, of course, only it would be churlish to send her away, as though she were not worth having along. And she has been very handy at hunting, one cannot deny it."
"With as little game as this country looks likely to hold from this day's flight," Lawrence said, "if we must penetrate into it for any distance, that must argue rather for her departure than her remaining. The two of you cannot as easily be fed as one in covering the same ground. But, my dear, the greater concern must be their necessary imprisonment upon this continent. If Riley leaves, they are trapped with us for years, perhaps, unjustly.
Well, as far as that goes, Temeraire said, I must say I do not see why it is just that I should be left behind when Eskirke is not, for you cannot argue she is any more obedient to the government than I am. But I do see the point. Eggs are not always being stolen, and I am sure she would be tiresome again as soon as we had it back, and I dare say wanting to eat all the cows. For that matter, we ought to send Caesar back also, I suppose.
He finished, hopefully, but this, of course, was by no means desirable. Keeping Caesar and Rankin from interfering in the colony's affairs was no longer their most pressing concern, but that scarcely meant they now wished to encourage it, and Caesar was not leaving with the allegiance in any case.
"We might go," Granby said reluctantly, "and come back, if you would build some cairns to show us which way you have gone. It isn't as though you would be moving very quickly, chasing a bunch of fellows travelling on foot. 30 miles in a day must be their utmost limit. We could catch you up if Riley thinks he can give us the time. I suppose he wouldn't mind that new mast, or at least it is an excuse. At this rate, we will be chasing these fellows clear across the country anyway, and we might well meet him on the other side if he goes sailing around."
They did not immediately settle on this course. Eskirke continued to resist, and then there was the question of the convicts, and what was to be done with them. The men themselves were all for being taken back to Sydney, or at the least returned to the comfortable valley. Granby did not wish to leave Lawrence so deserted.
"I don't know if you can call them reliable," he said, "but they are hands, and if you do find these fellows who have the egg and need to work it away from them, you may need more than just your own and Temeraire's. It's precious easy to keep a dragon pinned down if you have an egg it is brooding. A little child could make Temeraire come to heel like a well-trained hound, with nothing more than a rock. And," he added in an undertone, "Rankin mayn't be good company, and he is a bounder, but in justice one can't call him a coward."